If he said it, believe it. In John chapter 4, Jesus is on his way to a place called Cana. It was actually the first place where he did a miracle in his ministry. His ministry started there, and he finds himself back to Cana with his disciples. And an official, someone probably who was a high-ranking official underneath the king at that time, there was this man, this official who lived in Capernaum, and it's probably about 15 to 20 miles from where Jesus was when he showed up in Cana. But the official, his son, was very sick. And when he finds out that Jesus had come to Cana in Galilee, he decides to take a trip to get to Jesus. And even just in knowing this portion of the story, you can assume that this official had probably tried a few different outlets to try to bring his son to a place where he would feel better. He probably tried a couple of doctors. He exhausted himself, maybe money, maybe doctors coming to his house. And clearly at this point with his son, he wasn't getting better. But he's heard about Jesus. And he's probably heard about the miracles that Jesus did. And as I expound on this story, he didn't fully understand, fully believe, but there was enough in him to take a trip to get to Jesus. You know, sometimes when you've exhausted everything and you've tried everything, well, sometimes maybe God will use every disappointment to bring you to that place where Jesus is now the only answer. He's tried doctors, he's tried medicine. Clearly, none of that was working in his town, Capernaum. And he probably had the best resources. He was a successful man. He had status, he had position. But still, despite status, despite position, there are still going to be distresses and circumstances and trials in life. Your money and your position can't save you from things that you'll go through in life. And here he is at this place where he makes his trip down. He makes it up to Cana, to Jesus. And he comes to Jesus and he tells Jesus, look, my son is very ill. Will you come down with me and heal my son? And Jesus' response, his response was this. He says, unless you see signs and wonders, then you'll believe. And when I looked at this scripture, the response that Jesus gave this high official, this man, was not just to the official, but to everybody that was around. And it was not just a response to everybody that was around in this official, but it was a response to those, even us today, who feel like we need some type of sign or wonder in order to believe. It was a reproof. It was a criticism on his part, right directly to him. Like, look, is it simply unless I do something spectacular that you'll believe? Is it if you see the miracle, then you'll believe? Because again, the official had, at this point, come to Jesus because he was in crisis. He'd come to Jesus because he was in distress. He'd come to Jesus because his child was dying. But the official didn't come to Jesus simply out of his heart's desire to receive him. If there had been nothing that had happened to his son, he would have never came to Jesus. But sometimes our circumstances, as I said a little earlier, will draw us to a place where we've got to get to Jesus. Sometimes our situations will bring us to a place where that's it. I need to try Jesus at this point. Even though your belief is inadequate, like this official's, it was an inadequate belief. He didn't fully grasp who Jesus was. He'd heard about miracles. He'd heard that he had raised the dead. Probably he'd heard that blind eyes had been opened. He'd heard that the sick were able to come alive again and be whole and healthy. So he was going based off the signs and wonders. And there's a lot of people still today that will pursue Jesus simply to get a miracle, but they don't want to give their life to the miracle worker. There's a lot of people that want the good gifts. They want something from Jesus, but they don't want Jesus himself. And it's not the miracles and it's not the signs and the wonders that will save you. It's Jesus Christ, the person himself, that will save you. Signs and wonders aren't enough. And Jesus is not a genie in a bottle that if you rub the little lamp, he just kind of pops out and, okay, what are your wishes? What do you want me to do for you? Oh, yeah, give me a raise. Oh, yeah, well, here's what I want my wife to look like. Oh, yeah, yeah, I knew it was a reason why I came to church today. Yeah, I think now I've got the right lottery numbers. And Jesus is still saying to you and I, what is this? Unless you have some signs or wonders, then you'll believe? Is that what it's going to take? And Jesus is so much more than signs and wonders. So much more. And this man at this point, he actually demonstrates humility. You've got to assume that he was a well-educated man, somebody of status, of course, as I was sharing earlier. He could have turned and he could have walked away because he didn't get the answer that he wanted. He could have pushed back on Jesus, but like, excuse me, what are you talking about? Isn't that what you do? All right, doesn't it? Aren't you like the full package? All right, isn't it supposed to be some pretty spectacular, cool things that you do? But his response demonstrates a man who was broken in humility. His response demonstrates that he still didn't get it all either, but his heart was broken. He was in great distress. He had come to his end. He had no other place to go. And so his response, he just goes, "Sir, will you just come down with me before my son dies?" You know, and even in that, he still didn't really get what it was to believe the word that comes from Jesus. You know, his response, although broken and humble, was a response saying, "Hey, Jesus, could you just come with me before he dies?" As if there needs to be a set timetable for Jesus to get there before he dies. Not realizing that place and distance, time, cannot influence what Jesus wants to do in an exact moment right now. We think that sometimes. This is what we think salvation is. Show me something spectacular, God, because my time is running out. I'm at the point of death. And if you do this in time, Lord God, then I'll believe. If you just come my way, if I lead you, but Jesus doesn't lean on whether we have the plan or whether we have an idea. Let me tell you something. He died while we were all yet sinners, unable to figure out anything. And he goes to the cross and he dies for us. He lays down his life. It's all about the plan of Jesus Christ and not my plan. It's all about what Jesus wants to do in his perfect timing, in the power of his word. Jesus didn't need to go in order for that young boy to live. And although this official didn't really fully grasp what it was, but in his broken position, in his inadequate response, Jesus still responds in mercy. Jesus still responds out of love. Jesus says, "Go, your son will live. Go. Your son will live." It's not the right response. He's still saying that Jesus needs to get there before the son dies. For him, it's like a timetable. For him, it doesn't make sense that Jesus has the power in his word to bring life. He doesn't understand that Jesus is the word. He doesn't understand that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And because the word is God, because the word became flesh and dwelt among us, because the word is true, there's life. And he said, go, your son will live. And if he said it, believe it. And there becomes a change of heart with the official. Scripture tells us that he goes. He goes his way. Only to conclude for me that there was a change of heart. Scripture tells us that he believed the word. Not believing what he saw, because what he saw before he left was his son still dying. But he believed the word. Now this is important because he hasn't gotten home yet. So you haven't seen with your physical eyes that the boy is alive, but I'm going to believe the word that he is alive because Jesus said he's alive. That's faith. That's faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, believing, not in what you can see with your physical eyes, but faith believing in Jesus who holds all the power and the authority to bring life to a dead situation. No matter whether you're at the point of death, if Jesus says the word come alive, you can come alive tonight. Listen to me, if you're watching online and your situation is at the point of death and you're waiting for some sign and for some wonder, if Jesus just were to tell you, if you were to just sense and believe in faith in the presence of an almighty God to get up and go your way, if you just believe in faith, there's life very in the very word of Jesus Christ. As he goes his way. And while he's on his way, his servants are heading towards him, and his servants meet him on his journey back home. And his servants make haste to get to him this message. It clearly demonstrates that this was very, very agonizing to him, what he was going through, that they would be drawn to get on the road and meet him halfway because this was such a crisis for this father. And the servants meet him on the road and they go, he's recovering. He's recovering, the fever's lifting. And the official goes, what time did that fever start to break? Not that he had doubt, but this would be the moment to confirm his faith and believing the word. What time? They said, yesterday. At the seventh hour, the fever broke. Now, I don't have time to expound in all of this right now. But when he had first heard that Jesus was in Cana, Scripture really reveals to us that he made the trip with haste in one day. There was an urgency at this point of death in his son's life that he had to get to Jesus. But in his journey home, we recognize in their conversation with the official and the servant that he took his time going back home. Because here's what happens is when he asked the servants, when did he get better? When did the fever broke? They responded, they said, yesterday at the seventh hour, which means he had made this out to be a two-day trip. Now you can only be that relaxed and move at that pace unless you know that the word of God has brought life. New York City would move a lot slower if we found rest in the word of Jesus Christ that brought life. And in that moment, He knew that that was the appointed time of life for his son, that seventh hour. And then he goes home believing in the word and believing in the person, Jesus Christ. Believing his word and believing who he was, Jesus, as Savior. And not only was he saved, and not only did he believe, his household believed. Don't you want that end result? That not only would you believe tonight, but your entire household would believe. If he said it, believe it. If he said that you can go because what was at the point of death now has life, believe it. If my word tells me that Jesus came down on this earth and he said that he came to do the work of his Father, if he said it, believe it. If he said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me. He said it, believe it. He said it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He said it, believe it. Jesus said, surely, surely I say unto you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me shall have everlasting life. If he said it, believe it. We make this so complicated. We want to reason and figure out and ask questions. It's got to make sense within my own intellect. That's what's happening in today's generation. If it doesn't make sense in my own knowledge and my own thinking, if it doesn't add up to my master's degree or my doctorate, then I don't know. It's got to make sense in my mind. Well, let me respond to that real quick. If it only makes sense in your mind, then everything that I believe in Jesus Christ is simply in the natural. And that wouldn't make what Jesus does, his death on the cross and coming alive again on the third day, supernatural. I can't explain that in the natural. But my faith in what I believe in his word tells me that he died on the cross and he rose again on the third day and he's alive. And if I believe in that and give my life to Jesus Christ, if I repent of my sin, if I receive his forgiveness for the mess that I've made in my intellect and all of my master's degrees and bachelor's degrees and doctorate degrees, and we're still making a mess of things in this world, if that's what it really comes to, then I've been wrong the whole time. But this is a supernatural belief. This is something that you must believe in faith. If he said it, believe it. I'm keeping it very simple tonight. I just want you to believe. If he said it, believe it. He went to the cross, piece of wood shaped like a T. He went to that cross for you and I, laid down his life. His death on the cross paid for my sin debt, your sin debt, sin, the very evil things that have separated us from God, from a righteous God. You and I in our rebellion, you and I in our mess, you and I in our sin, our failure. And he goes to the cross, and it was his blood that was shed on that cross. But his blood that was shed on that cross, his death on that cross, canceled out my sin debt. I deserve to die. I really do. Matter of fact, we all do. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But a substitute stepped in. His name is Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. And so my sins, my mess, my debt, it was all nailed to the cross. When they drove those nails into his hands and those nails into his feet, and he hung there and he said something in his last breath, he said, "It is finished." And if he said it, believe it. It is finished. I don't have to worry about the point of death anymore because I've got life in Jesus Christ. He said it, I believe it. He went to the cross and said, "It is finished," which means David Ham does not need to figure out how to handle his mess anymore. It was nailed to the cross. It is finished. He said it, I believe it. Oh, it gets better. He rose again on the third day in all of his power and in all of his glory. And that very power, that very life that we find in Jesus Christ, it's now the life that lives inside of me. I'm a new person. He says I'm a new person in him. If he said it, I believe it. If he said it, believe it. Stop questioning something that you don't have the answers to in the natural. It's just the word. It's the word of life. It's the reason why two people can get up here and share testimony about just stuff that they could not figure out and deal with in their own life. Let the rest of the world run around with monkeys and half elephant, half man. But my God is alive, and he said it, and I believe it. Worship team, could you come up here? Can I tell you something? Hey, you want to know why this church is still alive? Pastor Carter, he always just kind of gives me just a history. They all do. All the pastors and the elders just reminded me of the history of what God has done here. And, you know, the average church can't go past 20 years and still thrive the way we do right here, especially where we are, our particular community. It was a very dark time, and this is Midtown. If you walk down 8th, if you walk down 9th Avenue, it is really dark. As a matter of fact, if you go north, south, east, west, it's just dark around us. But it is amazing how you walk up into this place right here, and the house of God is full at 10 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock. On Tuesday nights, you ever come in here? If you've never come on a Tuesday night, and I always the curtain comes down. I've said this a couple of times to the pastors and leadership. I said on Tuesday night, we are simply the biggest dance party in Midtown. At a prayer meeting, at a prayer service. Well, you know why we're the biggest dance party at a prayer service in Midtown? Because our God is alive, and this is true. This is true. And the house of the Lord is the evidence of it alive. And if he said it, just believe it. Don't stop questioning it. You'll get a headache trying to figure this out in your own strength. But I tell you what, it sure does feel good to just say, in faith, I just believe. Oh, I just believe. I just believe. I believe. I receive. And you'll find rest. And you'll be able to go your way. And they're going to come to you and be like, "Oh, man, there's life." And you'll be like, "Oh, I know. Yeah, he told me in the seventh hour." And hallelujah, he told me in the seventh hour. Could you stand up? Hallelujah. Hey. I'm going to invite you to come up and pray with me. Don't be in a rush to leave. You can't go your way until you believe. Don't. You cannot go your way until you believe. If you've been struggling with unbelief, questioning and struggling, waiting for a sign, waiting for just some wonders, and then I'll give my life to Jesus Christ completely. As you heard tonight, that's wrong. No, come and receive the person Jesus Christ. and believe in him and he'll give you eternal life. Don't question believing anymore. Come down. I want to pray with you. Take your friend's hand. Take your wife's hand. Take your brother's hand, cousin, whoever. Just look to your left and right. I can't do this by myself. Would you come with me? But get down here and believe. No more unbelief. Don't you walk out of here still with this unbelief. It's a waste of time to walk in unbelief. It takes a lot of work to live life with unbelief. But there's such a freedom if you believe. Come down. Even as I'm talking, you just make your way down. Yeah, be bold. Be bold tonight, and you just make your way down. Hallelujah. Church, we're going to be in agreement with them. Just stretch your hands out. You know why we lift our hands? I didn't even ask you, but you lifted your hands. That's awesome. We do this because it's a wonderful demonstration of us just saying, I surrender to you, Jesus, and I can't do it by myself. But this type of a surrender to Jesus is a liberating one. It's not condemning. It's freedom. Pray this prayer with me. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you're my Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Forgive me. I repent of my ways. Make me a new person. Be the Savior of my life. I believe your word that tells me you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You give me your grace. You give me your love. You give me your kindness. I believe it. And I receive your word. I'm a new person right now. Right now. Forevermore. Walking with you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.